We will, instead of questions right after each speaker, we're going to have our next speakers talk, and then after both have talked, we will then open the floor. They may want to talk to each other too a little bit, but we'll open the floor for questions. Okay, our next speaker is Gary Posner, Dr. Gary Posner. He got his medical degree at the University of Maryland, and he practiced internal medicine for 15 years before moving on to other medically related pursuits. He doesn't say what those were, though. He founded the Tampa Bay Skeptics in 1988. I know which is a very active group. I know he gets involved with the media quite a bit, and so he's very active there. It's a very active group. He's a PsychOp consultant. He's a contributing editor to the Scientific Review of Alternative Medicine. He's on a board of policy and science advisors of the American Council on Science and Health, Dr. Posner.
This says I have 1 minute left. Is that? The title of my talk is A Close-Minded Perspective on Distant Prayer or Intercessory Prayer. And let me tell you why I named it that. Even though my psychic abilities are rather limited, I still had a premonition earlier in the year that something could happen during the course of the year that might take up my time, my thoughts, as today's date was getting closer and closer. And so instead of procrastinating until last week or even last month, I actually wrote my talk very shortly after getting my letter of invitation from Paul Kurtz to be here today. And in his letter, he mentioned that among the other people being invited to speak at this session this afternoon were two people who you've just heard a little bit about, Drs. Randolph Bird and Larry Dossey, both of whose works I have critiqued for publication. And I expected from time to time to be looking over my shoulder at them as I talked about them and their work. And I suspect that both of them would consider me to be not only close-minded, but probably hostile in their minds to the massive evidence that they claim has been documented purporting to demonstrate the healing power of distant prayer, hence the title of my talk. Unfortunately, although I'm sure they both have very good reasons, and I'm not aware that either did even initially accept, but you may be right, but for whatever reason, neither. I'm sure that fear of, I don't know about you, but fear of confronting me, I'm sure was not among their reasons for not being here. But whatever the reasons were, unfortunately, neither one is here today. But I still may find myself, I'll get to that in a second, I still may find myself turning from time to time to face where they would have been. Because frankly, even though my psychic power didn't predict exactly what happened, I was correct that something did occur. It occurred on September 11, that in the grand scheme of things is much more important than me spending even another minute thinking about these prayer studies. So quite frankly, I haven't been motivated to change much of anything in my talk since finding out that neither Dr. Bird or Dr. Dossey would not be here today. But I certainly would have done so, however, if the current ongoing massive prayer study, albeit an unofficial and unscientific one, appeared to be yielding even slightly positive results. But unless I've missed a news flash, which I don't think I have, As far as I know, there aren't too many people emerging from the rubble at Ground Zero in New York City. So things up there seem to be progressing as if, despite the millions of prayers from all over the world, except I guess from a few caves in Afghanistan, things seem to be progressing in New York as if prayer really hasn't had much effect whatsoever. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it as to why I haven't bothered to change this talk since finding out that Drs. Bird and Dossie would not be here today. So, to begin, as I said a few moments ago, I suspect that a few of my colleagues here today, or not here today, would consider me absolutely closed-minded or even hostile to the evidence favoring the healing power of intercessory or distant prayer. Intercessory meaning having intercessors praying for people who don't even know that they are among the people being prayed for. For instance, in Dr. Dossie's book, his first book on this topic, Healing Words, he could have been talking about me. He wasn't, but he could just as well have been when he said the following, quote, "To doctors and scientists in general, the possibility that a physician's thoughts and beliefs could actually shape a patient's physiological responses at a distance, even when the patient is unaware, is unthinkable. This has resulted in a virtual blindness in modern medicine to these issues and an unconscious drive to deny demonstrated facts," end quote. Unthinkable, blindness, denying demonstrated facts. That's an allegation of closed-mindedness if I've ever heard one. But are our minds really closed to the quote-unquote demonstrated facts? Or might our opposing points of view actually have less to do with closed-mindedness on the part of the skeptics than with closed-mindedness on the part of the believers? And let me explain for a minute what I mean by that. At least in my experience, when dealing with paranormal claims such as ESP or astrology or today's topic, prayer, even more so with today's topic, because there's an involvement between a person and one's deity, most believers have such an emotional investment in the subject at hand that they generally seem absolutely closed-minded to the possibility that they might just happen to be wrong. And again, I'm generalizing, but it seems to me that no matter how many prosaic explanations may be put forth for the phenomena that they believe in, the believers continue to keep the faith. Now, I don't claim to be an expert with regard to religion or with regard to the power of prayer. I've done no research studies of my own. I've critiqued several, and several critiques have been published. But I simply consider myself to be among the subset of the population, however few of us there may be, relatively speaking, who demand extraordinarily compelling evidence before we would seriously consider accepting the genuineness of any paranormal phenomenon, be it prayer or whatever. Our minds are certainly open to the possibility, however remote we may consider it to be, that, for example, distant prayer may indeed have measurable effects in the real world in terms of medical healings or whatnot. All we skeptics, I think, would require is some solid, reproducible scientific evidence that is so extraordinarily compelling that only a truly closed-minded zealot could deny its persuasiveness. I'm sure we'd even settle for a non-scientific demonstration if the results were obvious enough. I've already alluded to what's going on in New York. perhaps we could even conduct an unofficial experiment here right now during the course of my talk. So if some of you in the audience would care, even though you're more worthy of this, but this is my talk now, so if some of you would care to pray for me during the course of this talk, I'd like all of you who are willing to pray that over the next 20 minutes or so that I will grow in height. I'd settle for 5'8". I'm not that greedy. But if you would all, or all of you who are willing to please pray for that during the course of my talk, I guarantee you that should those prayers come true, not only I, but I think every skeptic in the house will become an instant believer. But of course, before I forget, my prostate gland is already large enough. Thank you very much. So please, let's pray for everything but the prostate gland, if you will. And please don't mix that up with anything else in the general area. Just the prostate gland. Everything else is free to grow. I've lost my place. Well, let's get back to the real business at hand. I first heard about Dr. Randolph Bird's study, and those of you in the back row probably won't be able to read this word for word, I would imagine, but here it is. When one of the librarians at my hospital at the time, who knew that I had founded the Tampa Bay Skeptics a year or so earlier in 1988, asked me if I had heard about the new medical study that purported to, I don't think she used the word purported, that proved that praying for patients without them even knowing they were being prayed for helped them to get better faster. I hadn't heard anything about it, so she obtained for me a copy of the July 1988 Southern Medical Journal, which contained that study, and I read it, of course, with interest. But I couldn't help but note a few glaring problems in it that, at least for me, drained all the life out of the study. And in his study of about 400 cardiac care unit patients, Dr. Bird found that he found that there was no statistically significant decrease among the prayed-for patients as compared to the control patients with regard to the number of days spent in the CCU, the number of days spent in the hospital altogether, or even in the number of deaths, despite having assigned intercessors to pray for quote-unquote rapid recovery and for quote-unquote prevention of death. However, he did report slight reductions in the neighborhood of 5 to 7% in the incidence of 6 medical complications out of 26 variables that he was tracking. And these 6 were the development of pulmonary edema or congestive heart failure, pneumonia, and cardiac arrest, cardiopulmonary arrest, and the need for diuretic therapy, antibiotic therapy, and respiratory intubation, putting a breathing tube into the trachea and ventilating the patient. But rather than being independent variables, those 6 are actually interrelated in such a way that the development of any of one of those complications could conceivably lead to a cascade involving perhaps even all the others. For example, the development of congestive heart failure would necessitate the use of a diuretic and would predispose the patient to developing pneumonia, which would necessitate the administration of an antibiotic. And under either or both conditions, especially dealing with a CCU, a patient in the CCU recovering from a heart attack, it could easily result in the need for respiratory intubation and ventilation, and ultimately even to cardiac or cardiopulmonary arrest. So the six variables that he found small significance for in the prayed for group were not independent, but were actually interrelated variables. But an even more basic problem than that is what you've already heard about in that, as Dr. Bird even acknowledged in his paper, there really was no true control group, and there can't be in any prayer study, because even though he had assigned between 3 and 7 intercessors to pray for each of the patients in the study, it can be assumed that even the control